And we're on our election road trip in New Hampshire for tomorrow's primary. This year marks 100 years since the start of the New Hampshire presidential primary, which has made a big difference in our national politics over the years, as Brady Carlson from Here and Now contributor New Hampshire Public Radio reports.
The New Hampshire primary can sound pretty quaint. Here's the way it was described in a 1952 newsreel.
The citizens of the Granite State are not easily won. The country meeting places are hotbeds of political discussion. In village, town, and city, voters brave bitter snow and sleet to cast their votes.
Today's New Hampshire primary is anything but quaint. While voters here still expect candidates to knock on their doors, visit their diners, and hold meetings in their town halls, there are now big rallies as well. Even the most intimate house party probably has a TV camera or two in the back of the room, but many people in the Granite State still feel like there's something special at work in the process.
Well, in a word, democracy.
That's Dante Scala, a political scientist at the University of New Hampshire and an authority on the primary's history.
New Hampshire is this funny place where it's almost like a greenhouse where certain candidates can grow that you wouldn't necessarily find anywhere else in the nation.
The idea of the New Hampshire primary as a candidate incubator started to grow about a century ago, and according to UNH political scientist Andy Smith, it only became the first in the nation primary because of the state's tradition of holding town meetings in late winter.
The original law was to have the primary in May, but some local political leaders say that doesn't make sense. We'd have to open up the town hall twice.
So instead, New Hampshire scheduled its primary on town meeting day in March. That began in 1916, and since 1920, the state has always been first, even moving the primary earlier to put off other states trying to take its spot. For the first few decades, primary voters only chose delegates to party conventions. Not that exciting. For the 1952 contest, New Hampshire put candidates' names on the primary ballot instead, and suddenly, all eyes were on the state.
It was the nation's first presidential primary, and a record one. And when the ballots were totted up, it was a clean sweep for General Eisenhower on the Republican side and for Senator Estes Kefauver heading the Democratic slate.
For 40 years, starting with Dwight Eisenhower in 1952, New Hampshire was not only first, it was always right when it came to choosing who would be the country's next president. John F. Kennedy's win in 1960 helped propel him toward the White House.
I do not know any time in the life of this country when a comparable responsibility has been placed upon the people of the United States. And therefore, what we start here in New Hampshire today, I believe, must succeed next summer and next November.
Jimmy Carter's rise in 1976 from little-known former governor to president started with lots of small-scale New Hampshire stops. And one of the now iconic moments on Ronald Reagan's journey to the White House in 1980 came in Nashua, when a moderator tried to assert his control over a debate Reagan's campaign was hosting.
Would the sound man please turn Mr. Reagan's mic off for a minute? Is this on? Mr. Green,
you turn on my phone.
You asked for me if you would. I am paying for this microphone, Mr. Green.
New Hampshire's winning streak for picking the next president eventually broke in 1992, though even then, eventual President Bill Clinton said his second place finish in the state rejuvenated his campaign.
I think we know enough to say with some certainty that New Hampshire tonight has made Bill Clinton the comeback kid.
In fact, none of the last three presidents has won New Hampshire on their way to the White House. But Dante Scala of the University of New Hampshire says that's fine because the primary hasn't been about guessing the winner.
There are cases where we're not so interested in crowning frontrunners as we are in stirring the pot and sending a message. So not that we're not careful, but our priorities might be different than they would be if we were at the end of the line.
There have long been calls to move New Hampshire further down the line in the presidential picking process. Critics say the state's demographics are too different from the country, too wealthy, too rural, too white. Others say the state just plays too big a role in the primary process. But so far, most candidates continue to back New Hampshire's primary. And its chief defender, New Hampshire Secretary of State Bill Gardner, argues New Hampshire's outsized role makes the nominating process better for the country.
If you had a national primary, there'd be all fundraising. And then buying on the major media outlets in the country. There'd be no backyards. This gives a chance.
What's true about New Hampshire still is there's such low barriers to entry for participation.
Again, University of New Hampshire political scientist Dante Scala.
As one activist told me a long time ago, this is a place where there's a level playing field. The doors are open. Not everyone always goes through the doors, but it's open to them.
Whatever its future holds, the doors of New Hampshire's first-in-the-nation primary will be open tomorrow with the world watching to see what the voters say.
New Hampshire has spoken, and experts are looking for more straws in the political wind.
For Here and Now, I'm Brady Carlson in Concord, New Hampshire.